Hare Krishna. I wish you a wonderful good morning and also a very eventful and insightful day. I see there are some little angels coming. Hare Krishna, right? Don't be afraid.
Thank you,
Lily. Thank you. Yesterday, I wanted to explain really this one point which Srila Prabhupada made, that only the experience will prove to you all these spiritual statements. Krishna is called a soul. And in order to gain the experience of the processes of devotional service are given to us, they have two potencies. They can give you Krishna and they can give you also love to Krishna, which is necessary in order to relish Krishna consciousness. When you are not hungry, even a meal which is put in front of your eyes will not incite your appetite and appreciation. When you are not thirsty, you can be served with a good glass of coconut water, but you feel disgust stirring up your stomach. Hunger and thirst are necessary to appreciate food and drink. In the same way, love is necessary to appreciate Krishna. And while you do service, devotional service, like hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, that is given in your heart. So the bhakti is given to you, and then you can appreciate. Also, what I wanted to say yesterday as an introduction, I think it was a little fast the way I presented everything, that of all the nine processes of devotional service, chanting is given a priority. The reason is that the chanting very quickly removes our bad karma and installs Krishna on the throne of our heart. So, and therefore, we wanted to learn yesterday to hear like Parikshit Maharaj, what were the two qualities? Attentiveness and submission, good. And we wanted to chant like Sukadeva Goswami, who chanted the deep taste, non-stop marathon, 7 days. Very good. Now, this taste, of course, is our challenge. I didn't want to say eternal challenge, but taste. It's not, you need to know how to obtain the taste. And today we will talk about this a little bit in depth by studying the life of Prahlad from a very unusual perspective. I think you will be surprised what comes out. Because I will not tell you about Prahlad, what you already know, but try to surprise you and awaken the curiosity to know more. So, Krishna. How are you all doing? Is it very tired, or you are slowly finding your way into the time zone? It's not a great art. This is Sufi saying, it says, every one of us is born in a carcass. Is this an English word, carcass? Which is snail. The time of death, death comes and takes away the covering of the carcass. And those of us who have learned to develop wings can fly. Those who have not developed their wings, they will come into a new carcass, which is snail. So, I think this is quite shocking to say. In the little seminar which I'm trying to give, I'm trying to give you wings to fly in your spiritual life. And I think our Ganeshyam Priyaprabhu, whose presentation I really appreciated with a thrill, is giving us, let us say, an idea from where we can start our flight, where we can find, how we can find our place in life, which is deeply meaningful and purposeful for us. I really encourage you to take these seminars parallel, although we have not discussed with each other about the content of our seminars. I really feel they're extremely complementary, because really to do strong sadhana, you need a foundation in life. You need to be properly situated in a place which is where you can express your meaning and find your purpose. Good. So we will now start.
Thank you. So, my dear boys, welcome to your second part of the Sadhana in the Bhagavata seminar. Today is one of my favorite days. We will learn from the life of Prince Prahlad how to immerse ourselves in the practice of Smarana, or remembrance. Why is thinking of Krishna, or contemplating Krishna, or remembering Krishna important? If you do not remember what you have heard, your knowledge is practically non-existent. When Karna, who had mastery over the divine astras, confronted Arjuna in the final battle between the two, he forgot everything which he had learned in Parushya. It was due to a curse, and yet he was helpless against Arjuna. Forgetting things at the time of need is maybe the greatest problem which we have. And therefore, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali tell us how absolutely important remembrance is of Smarana. They say, without Smarana, you will not be able to make use of the Shastric knowledge, this knowledge of the scriptures, in your time of need. From where does Smarana, good remembering or thinking of Krishna and contemplating Krishna arise? How does it come? Have you ever tried, I want to think of Krishna, but what do I think? And no thought is coming. Instead, the thought of ice cream comes, which is very natural, or any other thought comes. But why does the thought of Krishna come so difficult to us? The answer is, our mind is not pure. A purified mind can only think of Krishna, and an unpurified mind only thinks of muscle training, ice cream, and frustration. That is, or other subjects like that. So today, I do hope, my dear devotees, to equip you with a theoretical framework so that you can practice memory and remembering Krishna. But more so than theory, I want to give you some practical tools so that you will be ecstatic devotees henceforward. Is that a good program? You are so dead. Afraid of me or something? Or you didn't get enough prasada? It's good if you participate freely. We are the part of asenas. We are joyful by nature, or at least temperamental or passionate. Something. Good. The devotee who remembered Krishna against all odds is Sri Prahlad. Sri Prahlad, just very briefly, was the son of Yakashipu, who was an emperor of the whole universe. the Bhagavatam described that he was so authoritative and so firmly established in his rule that the mighty Devatas, who ruled other portions of the universe, like for instance the rain, and other departments, bore down to Hiranyakashipu. The oceans brought forth jewels on their waves and placed them at the feet of Hiranyakashipu when he made a beach walk. And when Hiranyakashipu, who was very arrogant and demoniac, only raised his eyebrows, military phalanxes of chakra, fearing this an outburst of rage, Hiranyakashipu had an uncontrolled mind, but he didn't think that's the problem. What he thought was the problem is that his son Prahlad Maharaj sided with this enemy Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj, the same disciple of Hiranyakashipu, who in his free time always be found under a tree meditating, practicing smarana, thinking or remembering Lord Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was very, very absorbed in Krishna, so that he really did not notice any external obstacles. His father tried to assassinate him, or have him assassinated, in various ways, and finally, and when nothing worked, Hiranyakashipu, who wanted to get rid of Prahlad, requested some rakshasas to come and overwhelm Prahlad in his bed in the night. Prahlad was not sleeping, he was in samadhi, and when the rakshasas came into his room, maybe he noticed them, but he didn't show any sign of recognition. And they therefore quickly bound him with what is called Naga Parshas. These are mystical robes. And they took him, they carried him, but Prahlad was meditating about Krishna, to a cliff, and then in the night, they threw him from the cliff into the ocean. It was a huge, huge cliff. And they threw a mountain on top of him, just to be sure that he wouldn't come up. You know, when he threw popcorn into the ocean, it flew, so they thought, you know, I don't think it compared to a lot much with popcorn, but they thought the son of their emperor, they got better with frozen rocks than it. And this was so cruel that the ocean, Varunde, became turbulent and the waves started to wash Prahlad from under the rocks free and carried him to the shore. Now, Prahlad was so much absorbed in remembrance of Krishna that he didn't even notice all this. We are not very fixed in Krishna consciousness. When we come down to the prasadam room and there is not enough pizza for us, that's enough to get us agitated and forget all about Krishna and suffer miserably from a minority complex. Everything, no one likes me and eats my pizza all the time. But Prahlad was not affected. He was so absorbed and so immersed in this ecstatic memory of Krishna that even throwing him from a cliff or putting a mountain on top did not matter to him. He did not. He was just there. When Garuda saw this, the celebrated carrier of Lord Vishnu, he said, such a, oh, this little boy is so deeply immersed. I wish I would be like this. And
He came and he personally took away the Nagaparshas, these mystical ropes, which were like snakes binding the love. Then Varuna, the god of the ocean, saw this thing. He was so much in Krishna consciousness. He felt so attracted, so he took gems and jewels, like even our most decoratively interested Matajis don't know. Matajis are interested in decoration and have ample supply of jewels if they have a rich husband. So you can't imagine the jewels which Varuna brought for Prahlad. Then he came with baskets of jewels, but Prahlad was lying there on the beach, thinking ecstatically of Lord Krishna. Varuna said, my boy, hello, my boy, please open your eyes. I want to give you some presents. And then Prahlad opened the eyes, something very unexpected happened. He saw the god of the ocean. And he saw the gems, but he, due to his eagerness in Krishna consciousness, saw only a great devotee, Varuna. And he said, Varuna, is this you? Please tell me how I can meet my Lord. And Varuna said, I think you do very well. You do very well with this. Please don't ask me. No, Varuna, my Lord at the end of creation comes on the water and lies down on Ananta Shesha, the turbulent base, and you behold him, Lord of the water. You have direct darshan, but I only meditate. I only do smile. Varuna said, it's very good. Smile is very good. You always see at the core of your heart. Yes, I only see them externally. And no, said Prahlad, I am useless. It's an example of Trinadapi. I feel myself so low. Please, tell me how I can see my Lord. My dear father was saying that, what would you do if an exalted devotee comes to you and says, Gopal, your fingers all over India. You must be empowered by Krishna directly. And when no one sees it, you must you are there looking at Krishna. Please, Gopal, give me a hint how to see Krishna. In a way, we would feel a little helpless, didn't we? This devotee is so high, by his eagerness, he's so exalted. I'm not so, isn't it? Have you ever been approached by a great devotee to give him blessings and he felt like, not me, you are already excited. No, don't be nervous. Then some devotees come to us and ask, Varuna felt really uncomfortable. He said, Prahlad, you're so excited. But if you want to make an old man cry, you want to absolutely know how to see Krishna, I only know one thing. Pray to him fervently. That's all I can say. Then Varuna quickly disappeared out of discomfort. Prahlada, I want to pray. My dear Lord, kindly be visible to me and overcome with ecstatic emotions. He fell down and fainted. After some time, he awoke. But he felt very ecstatic. He looked around. There was a yellow silk garment on which he was resting. The sand which had covered his body because he was washed on the beach
had gone, and when he looked up, he looked into the lotus eyes of Lord Vishnu. Lord said, Prahlad, I have come. You have cried for me. You have thought of me. Even in the greatest danger, you remain tolerant and have not forgotten me. I have come. Now don't be grief-stricken. Don't lament when I soon leave you. I want to show to the world how remembering me brings me directly so that I come and protect my devotee. Soon your father will attack you. Don't be afraid. Just think of me and I will come a second time. And with this, my Vishnu disappeared. Prahlad was very grief-stricken, but he remembered the Lord's order, don't cry. So he somehow managed to pick himself up. Imagine, he went with the Lord and then the Lord disappears. This is some leg accident, right? A great leg. So he went to the palace of Hiranyakashipu, and when he walked through the entry gate, the Rakshasas who saw him thought he is a ghost. It was reported that he was successfully killed. He was thrown in an ocean and he was a rock was thrown on him. But now he walked through and he came right into the assembly hall where Hiranyakashipu was holding his cord. Hiranyakashipu heard that, now saw Prahlad, although he had a report that he was killed now, he was for just a millisecond a little afraid, but then his pride and blindness took the better part. Hiranyakashipu's Prahlad came forward, paid his obeisances. Hiranyakashipu was seething with anger. Do you know what that is? To seize with anger? Is that an English word? And he said, okay, listen to me one last time and answer my question. From where do you derive your strength to oppose my arrangements? Prahlad said, Father, you remember the Lord. I'm getting the strength from the same source that you are also obtaining your strength. I thought you would say this nonsense. Then if you claim that there is a God, he took a sword which had decapitated the greatest demons, then let him protect you now as I decapitate you right here in the assembly. Where is your God now? I think that this would happen to us. We would call the police. Prahlad did not think of the police at that time. He remembered Krishna. And he did made this very important. You can see someone remembers Krishna by on what he makes himself dependent. I'm remembering my exalted godmother Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, whose biography I'm reading in the house where he stayed. And when the cancer stroke, and it was clear that his preaching would be terminated, he made himself totally dependent and published a letter which made all of us cry. He said, "Now I've done so much preaching, I've explained so much, I will not talk any longer except for a very selected few of those who have service, but I will now do the Nirjana Bhajan. I will think of Krishna while chanting his name here and above. This is what I will do. Totally dependent on Krishna." You know where you are by whom or what you make yourself dependent on in times of need. Never forget, where is your shelter? Is it in the police? Or is it with Krishna? Or is it with both? That's also possible. Let's try this third option. The start. But we must learn to remember Krishna also in a crisis, in a life-threatening crisis. So, when this question was put to Prahlad by his father, where is your God? He said, everywhere! Now, this was too abstract for Krishna. He said, it's there in this pillar. So it was a pillar which was there at the entry of the hall. And it had carvings on the pillar of all the faces of mighty emperors whom Hiranyakashipu had conquered and slain. You know, it was, he had, you know, like maybe modern dictators have pictures of modern states of government who fall down to them and so on. I know that Hitler had such a thing, you know, all the states that he had conquered. So Hiranyakashipu had a pillar with all the faces of the ones he killed. Only one face was missing, and that came out in grand style of the pillar. It was the Lord's face, half man, half lion. And he pounced on the Hiranyakashipu to make true his statement to Prahlad. I will come to you if you think of me. So Lord Krishnadev jumped. Now I will explain it so that pregnant mothers can also hear it, but it is very intense what you will hear now. He jumped. He played for a moment because he appreciated the fighting skills of his opponent. But then he took his mighty nails and he was like, to Hiranyakashipu. And then Hiranyakashipu was no longer there. For a moment the Lord looked. Where's Hiranyakashipu? It's gone. And he shook his hands, and then Hiranyakashipu all was left from him. It was just dust that was coming from underneath his nails. The deep was by the force of the attack was in the nails. That is the account of the Shikapula. The Bhagavata describes even a more intense encounter where a lot of blood and a lot of intestines. Do you know what were the last words of Veera Kashyapu? Would you like to know?
Yes.
He said, alas. No, no, I believe it. The same chest that Lord Krishna is now piercing with his nails had broken the trunk of Airavata, the carrier of Indra. The same chest which is now opened by the Nrsimhadev has had blunted Shiva's sharp axe. Shiva attacked him and the sharp axe became blunt. Oh no! It is rightly said that destiny wills it, even a blade of grass can bring about one's destruction. Even, you know, never feel sure in your life. Our life is tottering like the water on top of the leaf of a lotus flower. It cannot come at any moment. His Holiness Radha Maharaj talks about an experience when he saw a hawk grabbing a piece of his swimming fish, and he said, then it comes like this. Unannounced, always at the wrong time. No matter if you're young or old, you feel it's always wrong. It ends in the light. So, therefore, my dear devotees, it behooves, it's proper for all of us, if we learn now that our body is young, to think of Krishna and to not forget it.
I'm sorry, the voice is also there.
Think of Krishna and not forget him, my dear devotees, my dear young Pandava sailors, and my dear skeptics. To think of Krishna, to remember him always, is the whole purpose of following all the different sadhanas which we do in our tradition. This remembrance of Krishna is the essence of the whole practice. What verses our life? We practice a little Krishna consciousness and then when we come to a shopping center, controls and get wild about the newest dress or the newest mobile telephone. But use is there. When we have a little scratch in our hand, we forget that we are not the body, and we are all of a sudden only the body. One God brother said once to me, my dear Maharaj, he said, every morning I wake up. I said, I also wake up. But he said, every morning I wake up an atheist. I forgot. He said, I don't think it is like this, but in your case. But what he said made me think that we do forget Krishna. We forget that we are spiritual souls and part of Krishna. How can we increase our memory? What can we do? There is something that this is a question I would like to ask first of all. Please, what can we do so that we remember Krishna more often? Not all at once. Sri Ram.
Speak about Krishna.
We can speak about Krishna more. Nityananda. We can
read about Krishna.
We can read about Krishna in this
self. Think of Krishna before and after each activity that we do.
Oh, look at this. Kind of something you really have a magical touch to and whatever you touch with your mind. Yes, this question. This is, by the way, supported by the Shastras, at least the first part. The second also, but there is an explicit statement that before you do an activity, you think of Krishna. And then offer it to Krishna, the activity. Then that is bhakti. If you only think of Krishna after you have done the activity, that is karma yoga. But you work, never think of Krishna, then you have earned $1,052. And then you say, ooh, you think, let me give $2 to Krishna. You let it call karma yoga, some part of what you do. But when you say, now this is, I'm doing this in your service, it's a total different picture. Do you understand? This is stated by Srinivas Swami, that before you do the activity, that's why you see great devotees, exemplary devotees, they always pray to Krishna. They always pray to the spiritual master before they do something. And after, of course, after also activity. You can do this. Ganesha Priya, you are so wise. Really, it is very nice of Ganesha Priya. To remember, you usually do need a trigger. So an activity is a good trigger. I have such a trigger. I have a telephone, not a mobile telephone, but a proper telephone. This is what the old people say. And my telephone rings. I pick it up and on the, please help me, is it called the receiver? The thing that she put to the ear. On the receiver I have always chant Hare Krishna. Everything else will be stolen from you at the moment of death. I have this reminder. Wow! So when Jara goes, ring, I have this, Hare Krishna! And remember Krishna by chanting his holy name. It's a trigger. The telephone ringing is a trigger for me to remember Krishna. So here is another trigger, an activity. Okay? Before you do it, pray to Krishna after. Thank you. I will turn my attention to Gopal. You had something, some advice? How can we train our remembering Krishna?
Was saying that we should start accumulating bhakti memories.
Achha.
Bhakti memories are whether we are visiting a holy place or we are going for a festival or we are giving a deity darshan. Those precious moments where we had a very good time in Krishna consciousness, we should accumulate that. And when we are having a bad time and our mind is going away from Krishna, he was mentioning we should consciously get into the treasure of our bhakti memories and pull one by one.
Oh,
because you had a good experience.
Yeah.
Count on the good experience during our bad times to bring Krishna.
Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhupada. Yes, you should remember. Create bhakti moments like this is a good thing. So many bhakti moments are created. There's this seminar, this new insight, this important discussion, one-on-one with the dear devotees about him. I remember I once asked the organizers of the youth tours, Manoram and Jai Sri Ravi, why do you do this? that they said, we want to create memories so that we have the better. That's very good. Why does he say in North so far? How to create, how do we think of Krishna? What else? Yes, I see you mean about that. Yes.
I couldn't acoustically.
When you write realization.
Oh, when you write down a realization. I remember Prabhupada said that every day we should write this. Write down your realization. And then you are more connected with it. See, most of us suffer from an information overdose. In this, it's connected with the information age. But also, my dear Lucy, if you would remember 0.001% of the insights you have got in lectures, you would be self-realized. We have so many information that at the end we have none. We don't remember anything. So if you pin down, that is my practice also. I'm an avid note taker. I'm here in the seminars. I'm participating in some, and I know I will forget, but let me write it down, and then here, my dear devotees, some of us think, oh, let me write it down, close the book, I have it. No. You need to review what you wrote down, otherwise you forget. If you write down your religious stuff, you just have it in a book and somewhere in a closet. No, you need to review it from time to time. Yes.
Seeing Krishna in every relationship,
so
your friend as Krishna.
Wow! This is a high practice. Thank you so much. You make a very mature statement. Yes, in our relationship, see that there's Krishna in that. And in Uddhava Gita, at the end, it says, pay your obeisances to every creature, even the donkey. Seeing that Krishna is in the heart, want to speak of the entity who snores next to you. I'm sorry, but poor little man in age, some relevant talk has to be there. You have to do it. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, your friends will ridicule if you make your business to a donkey. No, they say, oh, what? To a donkey? Or to a peacock. Who create, you see the peacocks here, they create the peacock pile everywhere. So why pay your business for such a thing? But no, you should know this question. Especially remember this when someone gets on your nerves. Especially then, this is my Lord. In the heart of this person is my Lord. And then you don't want to offend anyone. I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry, hopefully this is not on internet, but much of it.
You don't care any longer. Remembering Krishna is something which you must practice. What our Mataji said, it's a practice. But Ganesha Prabhu said, before and after an activity, think of Krishna. It's a practice, you must do that. And for any practice, my dear devotees, you require a foundation. Vyasadeva explains, you need Shraddha. Only from Shraddha comes Virya, the strength which you require to go on with your practice, to go on with your sadhana. And just look at the tremendous inner strength of Sri Prahlad, who was attacked with a lethal weapon with an intention to kill him. I mean, this was not a half-hearted intention. Hiranyakashipu was not in two minds. He was in one mind. He wanted to kill him, and he wanted to draw blood. He wanted to cut the spinal cord and to kill him successfully. It was an intentional attempt, to kill his son. Prabhupada was so strong inside that he didn't freak out or panic. Therefore, Shraddha must be increased, because Shraddha gives you strength, and from inner strength comes Smarana, remembering Krishna always. It's a sign of inner strength. You are weak if you forget Krishna or spiritual subject matter. And you are what is called instable, what is another English word? Labile? What is it? And you are shaken everywhere. Shraddha, strengthen your Shraddha. There is no better way than to strengthen our Shraddha and to come together in the association of good devotees and hearing from them. That's the birthplace of Shraddha. Shraddha also becomes increased by practice. A practice that you get something. And this is what we are going to do now. Then you can remember. Now, my dear boys, I want to see, is there any question up till now? Because we still have 20 minutes to go to mind-enchanting practice. Questions? Yes, Siamu.
My question is about us trying to remember Krishna in that difficult situation. Is it very different, or is it not appropriate to remember other people like Guru or Prabhupada or something like that? Because sometimes it's hard to remember Krishna because we have that like physical interaction.
Yeah.
It's been our spiritual master or our senior friend, we have like lots of dealings and they come by or something like that.
Yes, is Shyamakumar's question clear to you? Have you heard it acoustically? When Srila Prabhupada was asked this question in an interesting context, and the devotee said, Prabhupada, you said, and it's in the Gita, that at the moment of death, we should remember Krishna. What if we can't remember Krishna, but remember you? And Srila Prabhupada said, that's the same. Because a great devotee of the Lord carries Krishna in his heart. And he's Krishna conscious. And we remember him like this. We don't remember our spiritual master because he had the most elegant dancing step. Or because he smiles at us. We remember him properly, and then it's remembering Krishna. It's Mukunda Presha, someone who's dear to Krishna, who is Krishna. No? Mm-hmm. You can remember a spiritual master like a teenager remembers his rock star or pop star or hip hop star or whatever it is nowadays. No? There is a beginning better than nothing, but we should not just stop at the externals. We should go to the essence of our spiritual master. What is his essence? He's a servant of Guru and Krishna. Mm-hmm. And therefore, dear Mukunda Parisha. I think. Yes, you. Okay, so, yes, here, Ganesha Priya.
Wait, we can wait for it.
No.
Marcus, thinking
question about what you were saying about remembering Krishna in bad times, and of course remembering Krishna in good times. And I really value that point that we have in our Shastra, being equipoised, and that equilibrium always in good and bad times. Could you perhaps tell us a bit more about how we can properly remember Krishna in good times as well?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. It is why is it important to remember Krishna in good times? That good times can sometimes make you a little, because it's a difficult word, I learned, boisterous. You know what that is? A little. And everything is so good, so gloomy, so cool. Easier than in bad times, by the way. And therefore, it is important to remember it in good times. I can tell you what I do in good times, because I became aware that in good times, I remember we had these tours that we had each evening 30,000 people listening to a lecture on Krishna consciousness and chanting and dancing. I still remember in Moscow the people came dancing towards the stage like a huge tsunami wave. With 30,000 people move, you know, and move fast and move in enthusiastic joy. Ooh, that is something. So afterwards I felt so good. Then I was we were interviewed. Ganesha Priya, please take note of it. It was something like 35 TV broadcast things, you know, cameras, and many more newspapers. They had to be filled up. So many news wanted to know about this fast spreading religion, you know, in the CIA system, in the police Russia. It was after Perestroika and Glasnost, you know, when something changed. And I felt so good about all this. Well, look at this, the dreams come fulfilled, you know. Wow! Yes, if I'm honest, I have a part in it. No, objective truth has to be contemplated at this moment. And so on. And then I felt, I remember, at the evening when I went to bed, I felt very miserable. And I didn't know why, because everything was successful. Even I had enough prasada. Everything was successful. And then one devotee told me, I think we get carried away, Maharaj, by our successes. We forget that it is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's working. I remember that very distinctly. And nowadays, I'm just cautious to not think I'm the doer when something happens. This is in my mind very strong. I'm not the doer, it's by Krishna's mercy that this happened. And then I keep somewhat of an integrity in the myself, you know. I become a little like this. This works for me. I'm thinking I'm not the doer, it's by Krishna's mercy. This is how I remember Krishna and Kuta. And this comes now my main point. Prabhu's of young devotees and young skeptics, I make it a point to read every day in the Bhagavata. I was for a long time not doing it, I must confess. I thought I knew everything. I translated the Prabhupada's books from English to German, not all of them, but the Gita and some other books. And I did not read it so much. Now I understand. If you read regularly
The point is rarely that. You may not be able to read for half an hour. Half an hour is maybe possible, but for an hour or so. But if you read a little, connect your mind with Krishna, then it's very good. But then you will have some subject matter for thinking. And this regular reading, really. My dear devotees, please do it and you will see for yourself the proof. It will just change your whole thinking and approach to life. Now, looking at the clock, I was a little carried away. Now, it's now we have another 7 minutes. Is it 7 minutes?
That clock is fast.
A little fast, yes. I really wanted now a practical exercise. Are you ready?
Yes.
To remember Krishna is best done in the chanting of the holy name. But very often we have the difficulty that the name is coming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, but our mind seems to not be connected. It doesn't seem to, it hears, but it doesn't listen. We see, we are very perfect in Kali Yuga, and see, but overseeing or overlooking. If I was in time, I would have told you, a joke, but it has another time, it's not just joke. It's amazing how much people see but overlook. It's amazing how much we hear, but we don't listen and we overhear it. It just doesn't strike us. So in chanting, we must learn to connect with what is. In the teachings of Kapila Deva, Prabhupada says, when you chant Hare Krishna, you first chant Hare, O Radharani. Then you chant Krishna, O Krishna. Then the question is, what do you want by Radha Krishna? And the answer is, please engage me in your service. So I would like to make now an exercise where we chant together and where we enter the mantra through the first Hare, yes, that's the first. Do you have your bead bags with you? If not, no problem. Those who have, please take it. Those who don't have, please don't run and get it. I mean, it's in the room, of course, but not further. Because you don't need the bead bags for it. What I would like to do now with you is, I would like to chant the mantra and, with you, and I will tell you different instructions as I chant. You don't, never, as you chant, don't stop chanting. That's your only rule, and follow the instructions, okay?
One moment, I will give you the pitch.
Because we need to go a little further in this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Give us an orientation how to proceed from here.